How great is the love our Father has lavished on us, that we might be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Amen. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for each and every one of you that every single day of your life you understand and feel that you are loved. I really mean that. I don't say that lightly, because I understand in the work that I do and the life that I've traveled just how important it is that you and I understand who around us truly loves us and what they're willing to do to demonstrate that love to us in very meaningful ways that support us, comfort us, make us certain that somebody will be at our side in the most difficult moments of our lives. I don't take that for granted, and I hope you don't either, but I also feel strongly for anyone who doesn't have that certainty in their lives, because it's always surrounded me. I grew up in a big loving family that came from family streams that also were generations of big loving families. If I started counting off all my aunts and uncles and cousins, you'd ask me to stop long before I was done, just because it was taking so long. But that isn't the extent of it. The neighborhood I grew up in, the community that I grew up in, the congregation that I grew up in, there was never any doubt that there were people, teachers, coaches, pastors, mentors, even the neighborhood grandparents that really guided all the children of the neighborhood, that you had people who were interested in you, that loved you, that were ready to make sacrifices for you to help you on your way through life. None of that was perfect. None of that was flawless. As I grow older, I come to know with sometime reluctant knowledge the realities of the families that made me who I am and the R-rated moments in their history. And the congregations I've been a part of, the seven different congregations I've been a part of in my adult life, they all had their problems, they all had their sorrows and challenges and moments of great difficulty that simply revealed sin is present everywhere in every relationship. That's a given. So let's figure out how we get past the injuries that sin commits to the point of expressing the forgiveness and love and support that really needs to be at the center of our relationships. But I'm not the only one offering that prayer today, or who has ever offered that prayer on your behalf. Did you catch that in the lesson for today? For this reason, I kneel before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, I pray that you would be able to comprehend. The Apostle Paul is also praying the very same thing for you. And then eventually he makes his way to, I pray that you would be able to comprehend along with all the saints, all of those forgiven sinners who have lived this life before you, who now understand it perfectly in heaven, that you would comprehend with all the saints how wide and long and high and deep his love is, and that you would be able to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Doesn't that sound good? At the center of who you are, doesn't it sound perfectly wonderful to be filled with your Creator God, the knowledge of Him, His love, His passion for you, His interest in you, His promises to you? Who wouldn't want that? And yet, Paul makes it also abundantly clear here that to truly mine the depths of how wide and long and high and deep that love is, is not something we're going to attain in this lifetime, because it is surpassing knowledge. It is beyond comprehension. And the reason it is just how vast, how intense the fire of God's love is for His human children. The season of Epiphany is all about unwrapping the realities of Jesus being all that he reveals himself to be. And so let's go to his own words. Let's go up that mountain where he preached that famous sermon and hear him talk about things like how precious we are to our Heavenly Father. Things like the fact that not a single hair falls from our heads without him knowing about it, which some of us clearly keep that department in heaven a little busier than others. But in that same conversation, he talks about the sparrows. He talks about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And he asks us the questions like, do they ever worry about what they're going to eat or what they're going to wear? And yet, he points to Solomon, the wisest and wealthiest man that's ever lived, and says, God takes care of the things of nature in a way that the wealthiest and wisest human being could never display himself for the rest of the world to see. So don't worry about what God's going to do for you. In fact, he follows that up by saying, be most concerned about being right with God and a part of his eternal kingdom. He's going to give all these things to you as well. You know that because you can see how much he loves you. But that's consistent throughout all that Jesus tells us. And even what Jesus does. Look at any of his miracles, but we have one in front of us this morning, so take just a moment to think about that one. Jesus goes to a wedding. We don't know exactly why he was there, what connection he had to the bride and the groom. And yet, look what he does. He does his first public miracle. And what does it accomplish? We don't know if the man was a poor planner or simply just poor, but that groom was up for a moment of embarrassment. He was going to run out of wine before the wedding feast was over. And I can assure you, that kind of social faux pas in that day and time would have placed that on everybody's radar to where he would have likely heard about that often throughout the rest of his life. And I'm not exaggerating. So what does Jesus do? Quietly. So that a whole lot of people had no idea what was going on, not to show up the groom, but to support him, creates an abundance of the best wine any human tongue has ever tasted, so that the master of the feast, and I'm sure all of the guests too, went, oh, this guy's different. This guy saved the best wine to last. So the needle moves from total embarrassment to hero moment. That is the outcome of Jesus' first miracle. Does that give you some insight into how God is intensely interested in every moment of our lives? And have you had the personal experience? I'm sure you have. Where you're saying to yourself, walking away from a situation that could have been so awful, so embarrassing, well, that didn't go as badly as it could have. Don't overlook those moments of God's love for you. And his concern for you, that he is interested in those things too. But the Apostle Paul helps us in our understanding of all of this in many places throughout his writings. This is just one of them where he points to God's love and has encouragement for us to mine the depths, to come to comprehend it better. And another example would be Romans 8. That amazing, wonderful chapter of Scripture that many of us turn to for all kinds of different comfort in different moments. But remember there how he talks also about how high and deep the love of God is and how nothing can jeopardize that love that God has shown us and our attachment to that love. Not things in this world, not in the next, not spiritual things, not physical things, not height, not depth. Remember, he goes through all these categories and just challenges us to come up with something that we can slide in, sneak into those categories he gives us where he's missed something, where God's not going to be for us or interested in us in some given moment, and it's just not possible. And he follows that by saying very simply, God is for us. Who can be against us? When God is willing to give his one and only Son as the payment price for all human sin to make sure you and I are in heaven with him forever, how can we ever doubt how much he loves us and how much he's willing to, along with his Son, graciously give us all things. What an amazing reality we have to pursue if we want to make it our interest. God desires to reveal himself to us day after day after day in his word, yes. But when that word has tuned our perspective, sharpened up the focus of our eyes, right away, along with it comes all the opportunities to see how God is fulfilling these promises, how God is showing his love to us day by day in our lives, in ways we can never measure, in ways we can never fully comprehend, but in ways that give us just a little foretaste of what heaven is going to be like when we are fully understanding what it means to be full, filled to all the fullness of God, fulfilled in every way, complete in his presence. Having been embraced in that moment when we enter eternal life with him, wiping every tear from our eyes, wiping every memory and remembrance of pain and suffering and difficulty in this world to only live the perfection that he intended, that Adam and Eve got to know before that fall into sin, but that is so distant and far from any one of us, no matter what relationship we point at in our lives. Sooner or later, even those that love us the most will disappoint us, and we know how we've disappointed them. We know how often we would pull back words spoken almost the moment they're out of our mouths. We know how often we find ourselves thinking about, if I had only stopped myself in this moment regarding this or that, whether it was something you did or something you didn't do that changed the shape of a relationship for good, and you know you'll never have that moment back. God sees all that. He knows all of that. And he still remains completely committed to you in every way. And so day by day, he invites you into his word to come to know him better, to mine the depths of his love so that you will understand in every way you possibly can what it means that God became a human being for you, that God lived a perfect sinless life as your substitute, that God in human flesh, your brother Jesus Christ, was willing to endure extreme persecution and suffering to the pouring out of his life in that very last moment where he offers himself to his Father as the sacrifice for your sins, but triumphantly rises on Easter morning to guarantee you life with God forever. He invites you to measure your life, your thinking, your words, your relationships, everything about who you are in regard to how much he truly loves you. He invites you to come and eat and drink deeply of this body and blood, this bread and wine that he offers you, this foretaste, this participation in the sacrifice and in the eternal banquet that you will be welcome to eat in his presence forever, for your forgiveness, for your strengthening, for your assurance, a physical, experiential connection to this love that isn't just words hitting your ears or your eyes, but words that also make water able to wash away sin, that make bread and wine spiritual food to eat and to drink for the purpose of better understanding just how much your Savior loves you. So it's always a good thing, maybe even daily, to consider who it is that's around you showing you love at any given moment. It's equally important to wonder a little bit about maybe why someone seems to not love you today as much as they might have a day before, or a week before, or a year before, to examine what you might have done to cause that to be a reality. If you truly love them, you will do that, and they will do that for you. But also, to take a daily measurement of how much Christ loves you. And if you have any doubt, if you need any reinforcement, if you want to comprehend better how much He truly does, here it is. All laid out for you. Drink deep. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.